So, hello. Today is September 16th, 2020, and I have a special guest, and it is Dermaine. How are you?
I'm doing good. Happy to be here.
So, Dermaine is actually leaving to Colombia in a couple of weeks. I don't remember the date, but you are playing basketball, for anyone who doesn't know. And how long are you going to be there?
Yeah, so it depends on if we make the finals, but it could vary. If we make the playoffs, we're there a little bit longer. Usually till about December, about 3 months, I'm there playing basketball. So it all kind of just depends on if we make the playoffs or not. But the last two seasons that I played, we have made the championship game, which is good, but we haven't won it yet. So I'm trying to get my first championship there in Colombia.
How long have you been training for this trip specifically?
Yeah, so usually I always try to keep myself into some shape, but when I really lock in, I'm probably like a couple weeks, about a month, I try to train and get myself into basketball shape by running and lifting weights and stuff, just because you have to make sure you're taking care of your body and getting your body strong for when you go over there and play the season.
Yeah, and what made you like basketball and what made you go pro?
I guess for me, when I was a kid, my brother played basketball, and it was something I really, really enjoyed watching him do. At first, I actually started off playing football. And then once I got to a certain age where the kids were getting a little bit bigger and hitting harder, and I kind of pushed away football and really focused on basketball, and it was really like in high school. But what really made me like it is also, too, like Allen Iverson. He's one of my favorite players. I watched him growing up, and just someone who I wanted to be like when I was a kid.
Does your brother still play basketball or no?
He's older, but he still plays, and we actually still play every Monday and Thursday together. So I mean, it's always fun, and he kind of pushed me to play basketball. And you know, when you look up to someone, you always want to do what they're doing, and he always was playing basketball, so I figured I want to play basketball like him.
Okay, and why did you decide to play for an international team?
So with the plan overseas, I basically, they give you like a contract, they pay you money to play, so which that's always nice. So that was my reasoning to go there. But I ended up going to South America because they actually saw my game film from when I played in India.
And they asked, that's so cool.
Yeah, so yeah, it was really, really cool. I had a good season in India, and they asked me, you know, am I looking for a job? And at the time, I wasn't playing anywhere, so I said, yeah. That's kind of how it started. I sent them my film. They liked me. And then basically they flew me over and I played on the team and we did really well. But like I said, we didn't succeed in winning the championship, but we got to the finals. And ever since then, I had a good connection with the owners there. And, you know, they like me to play there every year. So,
yeah, well, I like how they noticed you like just randomly finding you on YouTube. So it was just kind of, I guess, I don't know what that term. I think it's like luck of the draw kind of term.
Yeah.
And they were just like, oh, okay, why don't we just get this guy?
Yeah, it's kind of funny how it all works. I mean, someone just giving me an opportunity off just watching me through a film from YouTube. So it kind of just shows how much social media is a blessing sometimes. So you never know how it goes. So make sure you're always posting your stuff or whatever could happen. It could be a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, I always make sure, especially for my business, like I put like the right content because you never know like who is looking through your social media page. So I try to just make it like as presentable or as like aesthetically pleasing as I can.
Yeah, exactly. You never know who's watching, and that's really true because you never know like who's watching you or who gives you that opportunity, and it only takes one person to give you that opportunity.
That's true. And what was the selection process like?
So when I first finished college, basically I didn't have anybody to like really give me a chance because I went to a Division II school. So it's a little bit harder for me to go overseas, usually because they want Division I prospects. Usually when you have Division I players, they're more athletic, they're more faster, they're just bigger, and they go to, you know, a program which produces players that, you know, go to the next level as far as NBA goes. So my process was a little bit more difficult. I had to kind of go to like some combines in Las Vegas. I had to really, really like just, you know, talk to people and try to network myself. And really, that's kind of how my opportunity started, is I was just a local player in Arizona. And I just kind of, you know, was pressing the right buttons and talking to the right people. And I got an opportunity to go to India. And once I went to India, I produced and played really well. I got MVP of the league. And, you know, from there, I just, I was able to kind of keep my story going. Like, I went to Colombia and then I did good there. And, you know, then I went to Morocco. I did well there. So all my, you know, I'm leaving some history behind, and people really like how I carry myself as a professional.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. And I remember on the Zoom call, you told me like your very, very beginning stages. And like, cause you said after high school, you started actually working as a janitor, and then a coach came up to you and was like, why are you working here?
Yeah, that's correct. So that was my first job. I like to be professional. I was a custodian, because when they say janitor, she was like, oh my gosh, that guy in high school cleaned the gym and stuff. But I was a janitor at Kohl's, and it was a long summer for me. I was just kind of trying to figure out what I wanted to do in life. I wanted to go to school, but I didn't really have that desire to get a college degree or anything like that. It was more so to play sports, as bad as that may seem. But I don't know, sports kind of took me a long way. But long story short, I was in Kohl's, you know, cleaning up the floors, mopping and stuff. And a coach was, you know, actually came into the store, and, you know, he saw me, and I let him know that I was working. And he's like, what the heck are you doing? Why are you working and not in school? And I was like, I didn't know. I really was going to take the year off and figure out if I wanted to work, because I wanted to make money. And I didn't really know. And then my mom was like, you can either work or you can go to school. And then from there, when the coach asked me, oh, you need to come to Scottsdale and register, I didn't look back after that. I went to Scottsdale and I registered. The first year at Scottsdale Community College, I was a redshirt freshman, and I did really, really well. But I was a redshirt, basically. I didn't play, so I just kind of like practiced with the team, and that was really it. Lifted and got stronger. But during those practices, like the starting group of that that year, like I was doing really well against them. And the coaches eventually were like, we have no idea why we redshirted you that year, and we didn't really know. And that's just how I always been, laid back. A lot of people don't, you know my potential. I kind of, I'm humble, and I don't carry myself with being cocky and all this stuff. I just, I don't know. I just try to fit in. But when it comes to playing basketball, I don't know. I play different. It releases a different animal of me. So.
Oh yeah. Though that's awesome. And I think like it was kind of fate, like that the coach was just there by coincidence and was like, why are you working here, Dermaine?
Exactly.
And yeah, because I think if I decide to have kids, I would give them that option if they want to either go to school or they want to work. But I think I would need them to have like a plan, because like if it's really, I feel like you have to work twice as hard if you don't have a college degree.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a lot more difficult for sure. But there's a lot of people who are way more successful than those who do have college degrees.
Yeah, that's very true. And I figured I wasn't going to go because of my academics. It had to be, you know, my God-given talent, my athletic ability that was going to get me to school, and which it eventually did, which I'm very, very blessed to have graduated and, you know, get some sort of education. So, I mean, I can't complain. Basketball has literally saved my life in so many different ways.
Yeah. And since you went internationally since you went to a lot of places internationally, what was the first place you traveled?
So the first place that I traveled, I went to Lebanon. That was the very first place that I left the country and I went to. And it was for like a tryout to eventually have an overseas team select me. And I ended up going for 2 weeks, and obviously nobody picked me up, so I didn't play a season over there. But we did play like some actual games. It was like a little summer camp, you know, basically brought some Americans over to see if they liked them. But, you know, it didn't work out for me, which was okay, because I had an opportunity somewhere else. But Lebanon was the very, very first place that I went to.
What was it like in Lebanon?
I was scared. I was very scared, because I had no idea. When I was at the airport, I'm like, I'm thinking, oh gosh, please be English above where I need to go. And it was just, I don't know. It was the first time I ever left the country. And, you know, I didn't really travel a lot. I went to college. I flew to college. But other than that, I didn't really fly too far. But going out of the country is a whole different ball game, as far as the food, you know, how they're driving. So it was scary for me. I'm not even going to lie. Just seeing the guards with guns as soon as you go down, I was just like paranoid and just, I don't know. I just felt like something was going to happen, but it didn't.
Okay. What was like the best, do you remember like any good experiences when you were there?
Oh yeah, definitely. I would say the fans and, you know, talking to kids and stuff. And I always tell people this, when I go overseas, I feel like a superstar. When I come back home, I feel like half a star because, I don't know, they just treat you different when you are an athlete over there and you're playing for the team and you're coming from America. They actually really do idolize you and look up to you. And that's something that I really, really enjoy.
Yeah. And what was your favorite country and why?
Oh, my favorite country? I'm going to have to say Colombia since I've been there so much. And I think it's just maybe because I spent a lot of time there and kind of, you know, understand their culture. I really like their food. And I just really like the lifestyle and, you know, and how they are as fans and stuff and how they support their team. So I'd have to go with Colombia on that one.
Yeah, I think like once you travel internationally, I think you just, I don't know, you have like a different perspective of the world, because when we're in this like bubble and then when we get outside of the bubble, you're like, whoa, it's just not what I pictured everything else to be. So yeah. I think definitely I support traveling. And I think like the first, well, I don't remember the first time. No, actually, I think it was Mexico, but it was just like big, like we just stayed at one place. But like, I think like going way out of country was in Europe. I went to Italy. Yeah. And that was probably like one of the first countries. I mean, that was like a beautiful experience. And it was definitely, I don't know, it was just definitely amazing to be there. So I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, we're spoiled here. We are very, very spoiled as far as, you know, having warm water or the electricity and stuff. It's you would be surprised on, you know, how some people are living out in other countries.
Yeah, I mean, I freaked out when I saw like an Eastern toilet, like for the very first time in Italy. And I was like, oh my God, like
people
are like on those like squatting toilets. Yes. And I was like, no, I can't do it. I don't want to do it.
Where's the toilet paper?
And what was your least favorite country?
You know what? It's hard for me to say least favorite. I mean, because I have respect for all of them, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just because my time there was so short, I would have to say Lebanon. Just because okay. My time was short, really, there was no reason on exactly why, but I just really didn't get to spend a lot of time there and get to get out and see a lot more than I have in the other countries.
Mm-hmm. What places have you been to so far?
So I've been to Colombia. I've been to like, you know, Cali's the team that I normally play for. I'm always stuttering, but I've been to like Medellin, Bogota. So I've been to a lot of places in Colombia. And then I went to Lebanon, Beirut.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was in Morocco, Marrakesh. That's the city that I played for. And then I went to Salé as well. So, you know, I've been around to a couple different places.
Yeah, well, I remember when we met, like the very first time at work, I told you I went to like Chennai, and then you were like, oh, I've been there too. And I'm like, really? No way, because not a lot of people go there.
Yeah, I actually forgot about that one. Yeah, so I've been to Chennai and I've been to Goa. So I got to experience that. That's where our tournament was Chennai University is where the UBA league was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what was Goa like? Because I've never been to Goa.
Yeah, so I guess Goa, I didn't know about it either. Goa was like their tour spot. They have like the beaches and stuff there. It was really nice as well. I mean, minus the mosquitoes was the only thing I didn't like there, but other than that it was nice.
I'm curious. So like when you go to these places, do you vaccinate?
You know what? I did when I went to India, but other than that, I haven't. It's been a while since I've got some shots. I'm not even going to lie. I figured God made the world. I don't think I need vaccinations everywhere I go, but that's just true. How I look at everything. I feel like sometimes we get poisoned with certain things and, you know, if I'm going to get sick from a mosquito, then, you know, I guess that's meant to be, but I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, no, I think when I went to India, like they were kind of, it was like a mandatory vaccination.
Yeah. So
I was just like, okay, I'll take it. And like reading more about vaccinations, I'm like, I don't know about it anymore. And there's like a book called To Vaccinate or Not to Vaccinate. And I'm just kind of like, I'm just gonna, I actually want to buy the book and see, because I was kind of like 50-50 on vaccinations, and then now with everything going on and then like all the conspiracies that are all over social media.
How did they survive back then? Like, how did you get by back then if you didn't get a shot? Like, that's what I wanted. How did those people survive if they don't have shots? Like, so that's how I look at it. But maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm right, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of pushing the COVID vaccine to like take it soon, but I'm like, it takes quite a while to find a vaccine, so I'm surprised they're even pushing it for a vaccine right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So the next question is how did you cope with the long distance relationship?
Yeah, so me and my fiance, we've been together for 8 years. Yesterday was our anniversary, so September 15th.
Happy anniversary.
I kind of forgot, but hopefully she doesn't listen to this. But, you know, I don't know, for us, it really wasn't a struggle. I guess I shouldn't say that. It has its moments, but I think communication is the most important thing in a relationship. And she has always known that this was my dream. Like, this doesn't always get to happen. I'm not going to be able to play basketball my whole entire life. Like, this is kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity. And she was with me when I had to go to those camps, and, you know, I got cut, had to pay some money, and she just seen how emotional I was. You know, she knows how much time I've put into the gym to work out, to try to give myself that opportunity. So she knows the work that I put in and how much I enjoy it, you know, and I talk to her about how I feel like how it's impacted my life and how I'm able to impact other people's lives through playing a game of basketball. So she understands my love for the game, and I feel like if anybody, you know, understands someone, you know, that's really going to help the relationship. But I mean, there's times where it's really hard as far as, you know, if you're having a bad day or you're not able to, you know, snuggle that person or, you know, comfort that person. But thank God that I do have FaceTime. I'm able to kind of, you know, visually see her. You know, I have Wi-Fi in my room at my hotel. So that's one thing that's really beneficial. But, you know, it's not like back in the day where we had to write letters and stuff. So,
well, that's good. Yeah, I remember when I was in Chennai for 2 months. And it was pretty, I mean, it was difficult that he wasn't there, but he understood that it was for like the program. And like, obviously I want to do like international travel for my work in the future. So he does understand, but I mean, it was difficult at that moment. And we had to like plan like, okay, we have to talk to each other at this time. And like, if I wanted to call him, like he's probably sleeping, or if he wanted to call me, I'm probably sleeping. So, I mean, we did have to plan out the schedule, but like the worst part is like when we got into like one fight, and it was just kind of awkward because like we got into that fight. So then we couldn't talk to each other like after like a whole entire day because of the time difference. And then it's just so awkward getting to a fight with someone when you don't physically see them.
Definitely. That definitely is, because you got to give that person like she knows when I'm upset if I have to go a whole entire day without messaging her or anything like that. So, I mean, we've went through that too. Everybody has their speed bumps and stuff, but, you know, but it also like really makes you appreciate how important this person is when you do go through that, because then it does open your eyes. Like, I really do need this person, for someone to wake up early for me while it's 12 o'clock, you know, in the afternoon, and freaking 9 o'clock in the after 9 o'clock at night. So I mean, it is hard with the time difference, but she was always able to kind of, she's the one that gets up early, and you know, she'll call me, and anytime I wake up, I usually contact her or let her know that I'm up. We kind of get on the same schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I met this one girl, and she was married for like over like a decade with her husband. And when she went on the trip, like, she told me it's kind of like eye-opening for her, because her and her husband were just like hip to hip, like everywhere all the time. And now she's kind of like separated from him for 2 months. So it's just like, she told me it was just so weird because she was just always with him. But I think she kind of needed that, maybe that time for herself that she didn't have.
Yeah, yep, and it makes you stronger, and then it just makes you, you know, really value that person when you do have them. Like, when I do return, I can't leave her side. You know, right now she's probably tired of me since I've been home for so long, but you know, I really enjoy my fiance. She's literally my best friend. And when you have your best friend, you know, that's really all you need.
Oh, that's so cute. And any advice for someone who wants to go pro?
Yeah, so my advice would be just make sure you're, when you're at your university, obviously make sure you're developing your skills, and you know, this is something that you really want to do and understand it, you know, read up on it, ask questions to people that have played overseas, because it is a grind. As far as, you know, if you go somewhere, they might not, you know, certain situations I've had it to where, you know, the trainers weren't really, you know, educated on the body, and just they're taping my ankle the wrong way, or, you know, they're giving me some stretches that, you know, don't really pertain to me or really help me out. So mm-hmm. being able to take care of yourself on your own, you know, doing stretches and icing and doing all the little things as far as like ice baths go and stuff. Because at the university, usually all that stuff is kind of provided for you. The trainers take care of you and stuff. But overseas, mm-hmm. you're basically kind of on your own unless you play like top notch mm-hmm. Overseas basketball, which is dang near NBA. But you know, for guys like myself, I mean, I'm not in the NBA or top-notch Euro League, so you got to really, really take care of yourself and make sure, you know, you learn about the country, or, you know, you learn about the currency. On, you know, you'll definitely get screwed over if you don't. Learning about the money and, you know, the different systems, the different players you'll have, and just enjoy it, you know, because at the end of the day, it doesn't last forever.
Yeah. Was there any like specific obstacles you went through and that you overcame during during the process?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, the Lebanon one, I didn't make a team in Lebanon. I actually, you know, nobody had picked me up, so I had to go through some trials to where I had to fail and lift myself up and make myself stronger, which it did. But mm-hmm. you know, not every time you're going to go somewhere you're going to succeed, but as long as you learn from it and you're able to flip that energy into something positive, I think that's the most important. Because there's been plenty of times, even in basketball, you're going to miss shots. It happens. Like, it's, you're not perfect, but if you're able to, you know, eventually keep shooting and keep that confidence when you do have those down days and keep pushing through, you know, that's what tends to make people. And that's what's made me my entire life, as far as, you know, not going to a school right away and working a job and going through little stories like that. It helps you become a man and become mature. But as far as obstacle goes overseas, I've had some times where they paid me late, you know, and I've had to, you know, ask my fiance, hey, can you help me out on a bill until I get my money and send it back to you? So little things like that. I'm not going to call out the country, but it was a little frustrating being there, but eventually I got all my money. But
oh my gosh, that's scary.
Yeah, getting the late payment's weird. So it's like, I put in my work, why are you guys paying me late, you know? So
that reminds me of our old job. This
yeah. I agree. And it's a little weird when you put in the work and you're getting paid late. It's not like you showed up late or anything like that, but it made me become more understanding that sometimes, you know, the sponsors might be right away or they're doing other things. But of course, you know, I want to be selfish and be like, where the heck is my money? Because this is what I'm out here to do. Like, this is my job, you know, and I give 100%. I'm expecting, you know, people to at least notify me, hey, it might be late. And then once I got on the same page and expressing how I felt, they were able to kind of take care of me. But eventually you got to open your mouth, because it's gonna help you out in the long run.
Yeah. And I think my last question is, when we went through our Zoom call, you told me that you and your fiance, you guys lived in Morocco together. So how was that like?
Oh my gosh, it was great for me. Because I am a terrible cook. I cannot cook to save my life. And my fiance makes fun of me because she asks me, how do I survive? And usually I survive either eating fast food, or usually I'll have to survive, you know, making little breakfasts and stuff. And I'm a breakfast guy, so I could eat breakfast for breakfast and lunch. So
you're like
little
me.
Things like that. But learning how to cook, it was frustrating because I had to go off of like a gas stove, and I'm scared of fire. I don't want to get burned. I don't want to touch anything. I hate washing dishes. I hate putting my hand in the sink with all that crud and all that leftover food. So When she came to live with me in Morocco, it was such a blessing because she took care of everything in the house, and I'm eating good, so I'm going to practice, I'm feeling good, and I'm happy. And then when she leaves, I'm like miserable and having to cook for myself, being a big old baby.
So, yeah, you told me she surprised you, right? Like she just popped out of nowhere?
No. She didn't surprise me. It was something we planned. She flew down. She stayed for 3 months with me because in Morocco, I was there for 9 months. And she came around Thanksgiving time. So she was there with me for 3 months. And it was just awesome just to have her there. I was really sick when she left. So it kind of made things worse for me a little bit.
Oh, that's so sweet. I can feel the love between you two.
Only when she's back.
So where can people follow you?
Yeah, so you can get on my YouTube. You can put in my name, Dermaine Crockrell. I also have an Instagram as well. Sad as this is, I kind of forget my Instagram name. I think it's Mac Main.
It's okay. I'll have it on the caption.
Yeah.
If anyone needs to look up your YouTube video or Facebook or Instagram.
Definitely.
Okay, well, thank you for hopping on. I appreciate it, and good luck on your training and good luck in Colombia.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for having me, and I greatly appreciate it. And hopefully we can do another one, and hopefully I win a championship soon this upcoming season.
Yes, I'll see you in 3 months.
All righty, perfect. Thank you very much, Margaret.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.